Life Audio.
Hey loves, I'm Dana Shea. I've been married for over 25 years to my childhood sweetheart, Sean. But our marriage hasn't always been sweet. There were some really dark nights caused by betrayal and conflict. We were so disconnected. Over the last decade, we've learned the tools to rebuild our marriage into something greater than we ever hoped for. And I want to help you do the same. As a marriage and relationship coach, I can give you the blueprint for how to rebuild your relationship. You're not here today by chance, friend. So turn up the volume and let me be your guide to rebuilding your life and rebuilding your love. Welcome to the Rebuilding Us podcast. Well, welcome to the show, everyone. I am so just glad that you're here today. If you have stumbled upon this podcast, maybe this is the first time that you've ever listened to the show. I think that this is going to be incredibly helpful for you if you are actually trying to rebuild after an affair. So if you've been a listener to the podcast for a while, you may have remembered when we first started this podcast, which used to be called Real Relationship Talk. Today is actually our first full episode with our new podcast name, Rebuilding Us. But if you used to listen to the show when it was called Real Relationship Talk, then you may have remembered a conversation that Sean and I had back in 2020, where we talk about how we had rebuilt and restored our marriage after our affairs. And so I wanted Sean to come back on the show today because I think that there's a fresh perspective that we can share with you all. And many of you have just started listening to this podcast. So maybe you don't know kind of the full story of everything that my husband Sean and I have gone through in our 24, almost 25 years of marriage. So I figured, you know what? Let's rebrand. Let's redo everything. Let's really kind of rebring our story back out of the vault and share with you guys a little bit about what we've been through. Most couples think that they have a communication problem when actually they have a connection problem. That's why I created the How Connected Are You Partner Quiz so that you can test the connectivity in your relationship. This quiz is fun, free, and easy, and it will equip you with the vital next steps to build a deeper connection in your relationship. Take the quiz today at danashea.com/partner quiz. That's danashe.com/partner quiz. Now back to our show. So Sean, thanks for being here today.
No problem.
Well, I have no idea where this conversation is going to go. There's so much to share, you guys. Honestly, it's really hard to kind of put our story and condense it in 25 to 30 minutes. But I just want to start off by saying that hindsight is always 20/20. So you can look at where you are now, and then you can look back on maybe some mistakes that you made, some open doors that were there. Maybe you are trying to figure out, like, what signs did I miss? How come I didn't see that coming? And for me, at least, that was the big, I think, just kind of shock, is that I honestly did not see this coming. Most people who end up having affairs or committing adultery or being unfaithful, however you want to define that, are not bad people. They don't seek to destroy their marriages. They don't seek to hurt their spouse. But there's a lot of things that are not put in place. And at least that was my story. So I was really good friends with this particular guy in high school. And we talked about everything. We were really close friends, as you talk to a friend, right? You talk to your friends about your life. You talk to your friends about your struggles and all the things. But when you get married, there has to be a difference between friends of the opposite gender. I don't know that it's impossible for you to have friends of the opposite gender, but it is impossible for you to have healthy friendships with other people without really good boundaries in place. And I just didn't have boundaries in place. So what turned from just kind of a normal quote unquote friendship started becoming this relationship where the lines began to get very blurry. And there was one point where I almost felt like it was kind of like out of my control a little bit. Like, and I'm not making an excuse for that, but I'm saying my mindset was it was almost like a ball was rolling and I was trying to like run in front of it, but I couldn't quite get in front of it. And so I realized that I was starting to have feelings for this person, but I didn't know what to do. I'm 19 years old, you guys, and I didn't know how to stop this. I was still thinking, I can control this. This isn't going to go anywhere. And then it did go somewhere. And I was devastated because I am not the kind of person who I thought would ever do something like that. Loyalty is very important to me in a relationship and especially in a marriage. And so I was just done, like undone, really, when I fell into adultery.
Wow, pretty interesting. Thank you for sharing that. For me, on my side, it was different because really I didn't know what it was really meant to be married. You know, you hear the stories about that, but I didn't have the examples really. No father figure, and all the male role models I had in my life had multiple relationships. Mm. So really it was pretty much really, I mean, it's crazy to say, but the cool thing or normal thing to do. So I have multiple relationships or so. And then, but I never really intentionally set out to have sex per se, you know, I'll just be real, you know, and grew up with a single mother. So I was around a lot of women all the time. So it was just natural, more comfortable to be around women, have conversations with women. But you know, I wasn't, set out, yeah, I'm going to go sleep with this woman, sleep with that woman, sleep with this one. You know, it wasn't until certain ones were like maybe hit a spot that I was lacking, didn't realize it, you know, didn't realize that I was there was something there or so that I was missing or mm-hmm. so. And then it was like just, oh, wow, this is hitting that need, man. This is wow. You know, and then as you know, like you said, as you go into friendship, there's no boundaries and it feels good, it feels comfortable. And, you know, you feel, for me, I felt this person makes me feel like a superhero, super, you know. And, you know, one thing led to another and it was like, wow, you know. And then once I was in, it was like, it feels good, don't want to get out, how do I get out, you know, all this stuff like that. And, you know, didn't really have anybody to talk to about that mm. type of stuff. So it was, you kind of, for me, I was kind of in it by myself, mm-hmm. you know, and once you're in, it's hard to get out.
Right.
So,
yeah, I mean, goodness, that's deep. Like, I think a lot of what you shared, Sean, like not having those boundaries in place, but then also, you know, I heard someone say this years ago, it was a therapist, and they said pain seeks pleasure. Mm. So when you're in a painful marriage or when you're going through struggles in your marriage and you don't know how to fix those struggles, like we were going through a lot in our marriage. We were young, we were having financial problems, we were disconnected, it was just a mess already, like before the affairs, right? And so when you're dealing with, again, like you were talking about unmet needs, and this is why when I do premarital coaching, the very first lesson that I always talk about is needs and expectations, because we all have needs. And if you're looking for your spouse to meet all of your needs and they don't, then you're going to feel this deficit. And I can surely say, like, for me, that other person, I think, and we've talked about this before, but it was like they, quote, saw me. Like, I wasn't just a spouse. I wasn't just the mother of their child, but I was a human being. Like, I felt seen, and that felt good. It felt good to be seen. And you're saying, you know, it felt good for you to feel like a superhero, you know, because mm-hmm. I'm sure I probably wasn't affirming you. I probably wasn't appreciating you, like all of those things. And I don't think either one of us are given excuses here, because I think it's really important that we communicate that there is no excuse for an affair, but there are reasons. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to actually do another episode here shortly on the difference between excuses and reasons. Yeah. So like for me, it was devastating, I think, when I did it myself. But then like when I found out that you were having an affair, I was crushed beyond belief. Like, and it, that seems so hypocritical, right? Because it's like, well, how can you get upset if you were doing mm-hmm. the same thing? But I think for me, you know, again, just justifying, like, I didn't mean for this to happen. And I could say that also for me, once it happened, that was it. Like, I cut that relationship off and I haven't talked to that person in 24 years, you know? And that wasn't necessarily what I saw happening to you. So, and you talked about like, you didn't set out to like have sex. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kind of like, I don't know. What would you say?
I mean, honestly, for me, like, you know, you said you were devastated when you found out me. I was saying for me, you know, once I found out about you, it was like, didn't expect that, you know, and honestly, it was like, okay, you're going to pay for that. And I'm going to make you feel it, you know, because the way I feel, because of just all the other stuff, the background leading up to it, there was a lot to it. So I was like, yeah, you're going to pay for this. I want you to feel like I feel. And it was, you know, it was very, as you said, I mean, it was the same. I think we felt the same, just on different perspectives, you know, different ends of the stick. And we didn't know how to communicate that we both were hurt and crushed by it. And so I'm just me, you know, if you wrong me, it's not right, but I'll get you back. And I'll find a way to do it where you're going to know I got you back. And so, you know, and that was, I've grown since then, you know, like, not as evil, but that was just something I had, you know, and it was just, it's hard to say, but, you know, the way you grow up and each other, I mean, that probably comes a lot from not having dad around. So holding anger towards that, you know, and just different things. So I'm like, okay, somebody else wronged me, so now you're going to pay, you know, so, but no, I think you asked me, you didn't see like it was one and done or I was done, you know, it was, but reason really why is because one aspect, that person or persons met, fulfilled a need that I didn't have. So it was like, okay, one and you, this feels good, you know, and I'm not letting this go because it's a need. And so I didn't know how to communicate what I needed to you. It was just like, you're not meeting it, somebody else is. And so I didn't give you the opportunity to meet that need. It was like, oh, well. And along with the get back.
That is eye-opening for sure, for sure. Well, we're going to take a really quick break, you guys. I want you to hear a word from our sponsor. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast, make sure that you subscribe right now. We will be right back.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
So before the break, Sean, you were talking about how, from your vantage point, you had this revenge thing going on and you had these unmet needs. And, you know, I always think about this, like, obviously, again, hindsight is 20/20. And when you are a Christian, like we were not good Christians. I mean, we were both struggling in our faith back then, you know, but there has to be this desire to please Christ more than you want to be pleased. And that took me a long time because, like you, I also had unmet needs. I also had all of these desires. I also felt unseen, unheard, unloved, all the uns. And it wasn't until I rededicated my life to the Lord that I realized that even if you were not doing all the things that you were supposed to do, that my allegiance really was to God. And I wasn't just unfaithful to you, but I was unfaithful to Him. And that crushed me because I love the Lord. Like, He has been so faithful to me, so good, so merciful. And that, honestly, even to this day, is the thing that keeps me on the straight and narrow. Because no matter how great of a marriage you have, you're always going to have those unmet needs somewhere. You're always going to have those, like, situations where it's like, well, my spouse didn't listen to me that day, or they didn't affirm me that day, or maybe I'm not getting enough sex, or whatever it is. So I feel like what helps to not get back in that cycle is realizing that first and foremost, like nobody can meet all of your needs. Like that's just setting your spouse up for failure to think, oh, this person is supposed to fulfill me and meet all of my needs. There's going to be needs that I will never be able to meet for you. There's going to be needs that I can meet for you, but I neglect to meet for you because of maybe selfishness or just ignorance or I'm tired or whatever, fill in the blank. And so I think that for me, what keeps me, again, faithful today, like I don't put anything past anybody. I would never say to somebody, I would never cheat on my spouse, because the moment that you say that, you're going to be tested. And so it's not about like, I would never. It's about what am I doing every day to make sure that this does not happen again. So I'll just kind of start talking about some things that I put in place. We're talking about boundaries earlier, and there are still men. Like I work in a male-dominated industry as a pastor and even as a marriage coach. Most marriage coaches and people in this field, in this space, are men. So I'm constantly around men. I'm constantly having conversations with men and deep conversations because of what the work is that I do. So I have had to put boundaries in place. One of them is I don't consider a guy to be a friend unless he is a friend with you too. So there's no like random Tyrone out there that you don't know about. You know all of my guy friends. And I think that that's important. Something else is I control my conversations during specific times of the day. So I'm not going to be like texting a guy at like 10 p.m. about anything because it's just unnecessary. There's nothing that you need to be talking about with a person of the opposite gender at that late at night. Another thing is I don't talk about like our marriage problems. So even if you and I are having a rough day, that other person does not get access to that information because that is just not wise. And they don't deserve that sort of access to our marriage. I could go on and on and on, but those are just kind of three of the things that come to mind quickly that I have put in place so that I don't find myself in this situation again.
Okay, got it. Going back early on, you said as a Christian, you basically sin against God. So one thing I do want to say, Christian or non-Christian, that you, one thing you should do is kind of try to understand who you are first before you even get in a relationship. Because I think a lot of stuff for me was I didn't know who I was and I didn't really understand what I was lacking, what made me tick and different things about me. I was what everybody said I should be. So not knowing who I was and not being able to understand who I was, I didn't have an identity. So people were able to speak into different things that it's like, oh, I'm lacking this, I'm lacking that, you know. So I really encourage people to, even before early on in relationships, is to understand who the person is, you know, separate from who the spouse or who their future spouse thinks they are. You know, like one-on-one conversation is, do you know who you are? Do you understand, or what makes you go? What makes you, you know? And then once you understand that, now how do you give that information to your future spouse? You know, because I think if you set a foundation like that, then that kind of puts up early borders or boundaries from anybody else coming in, because now I know who I am. I know what I like, and I can relay that to you. And maybe it might not work early. You know, maybe we realize, oh, this ain't working. You know, this is not going to work between us. But that saves heartache, you know, later on. Mm-hmm. And that was, for me, later after we went through therapy, I went through my own personal therapy, and I was able to understand who I was and what I was lacking and what I was looking for. And like, okay, I can identify these things. Now I know, and that's what helped me. Like, okay, I don't need all this extra stuff on the outside. I mean, it was really just like, and it's crazy. It's like, all right, I'm done overnight. You know, once I understood who I was, you know, I don't need that. You know, I thought I needed that. Why? Because it goes back, because that's what I saw, mm-hmm. you know, and this is what guys do, you know, and so once again, like I said, I understand I'm not that person and I don't need that, you know, and then, yes, as a Christian, that is not becoming of God. So I can't do that, you know. And so now I don't look at, you know, yes, you have attractions, but I don't look at a woman as like, oh, man, you know, the many things I can do with her and this and that. No, I'm like, so I have a conversation, talk, you know, if it's work, all right, and boom, and keep it separate, strictly professional instead of, well, what, it, you know, what are just something that leads to other stuff like that. And I have, like, it's crazy. Like, I can see it if it's going that way and able to cut it off, you know. And I don't go out one-on-one with females and stuff like that, you know. And close ones I do work with, I do tell you about, you know. You hear me talking about them. And they respect the marriage, you know, and they talk and listen to the podcast, and they know stuff all about it, stuff like, so it's interesting to hear, you know, and they're for it, you know, like they protect, you know, like really the ones I work with in the military, you know, different things, they can also look out too for stuff and see like, hey, watch out for so-and-so. And it's neat to see when you get out of that, those blinders off, to see how easily you can fall, but how also when you're open and honest about things, you won't fall, you know, and you make your intentions known about different things. So, yeah, I mean, I said, I don't have late night conversations anymore, you know, different things, like kind of same things you put in place. But really, my whole thing is I don't go looking at a lady, how can I, the things I can do, you know, what can you do for me or what can I do for you or stuff like that. So
I think something that you said that's really important that maybe a lot of people don't think about is bringing it into the light. So what you were saying earlier was you were having these struggles and you didn't have anybody to talk to. Mm-hmm. You certainly couldn't talk to me, right? Because that just wasn't going to happen, but you didn't really have anybody to talk to. And so for me, one of the reasons that I am so transparent about our relationship and I have zero shame talking about past infidelity is because when you bring it into the light, you expose yourself. And the enemy, Satan, whatever you want to call him, the one that is trying to destroy your life and your marriage, has no pull on you if you bring it into the light. So telling other people helps. When you try to go through this by yourself in isolation, mm-hmm. when you try to pretend like, you know, oh, I'm good, or I don't have struggles, I don't have temptations. And then going back to what you were saying earlier, not knowing yourself, not knowing your triggers, like that for me is something that has helped me as well, because I know what I like. I know what I'm attracted to. And so when I am attracted to someone, which let's be real, just because you're a Christian does not mean, like you said, John, your attractions go away. Like you don't become blind mm-hmm. when you become a Christian. Whenever I hear like people being like, oh, I'm never attracted, I'm like, you're lying. Like that's just not how we're built. Because if God forbid your spouse were to die, you would be attracted to other people. So it's not like, oh, I feel guilty that I have these attractions. That's not the sin. Like being tempted is not sin. It's what you do with the temptation that matters. So when I see something, like I was telling you, you know the story, but I don't know if I've shared this story on the podcast, but I was having lunch with a friend once and we were at this, it was a really like nice, cute little restaurant that had an outdoor seating area. So we're sitting outside. And this guy walks in and he was a good looking guy, you know? And so he sits down like right across from me. And I tell my friend, I'm like, oh, let's switch. We got to switch. And so she was like, what's going on? So we switch places and she looks up and she's like, oh my gosh, she's married too, right? She's like, oh my gosh, Dana, oh my gosh. So we're like having the biggest laugh about it. But something as simple as that, like I'm exposing, there's somebody that has caught my eye. I don't want to be slipping glances at this man. So I'm going to position myself away from him. Like it's something as small as that, because I know myself. Now, am I planning on getting this man's number and, you know, starting that? No. I'm not planning on any of that. But I want to cut it off as early as I can. And I think that when people fall into adultery, when people have affairs, they do so because they didn't cut it off early. Like the Bible talks about when we are facing temptation, God will give us a way of escape. We have to have our eyes open, though, I call it the trap door, for the way out. And what you were saying, Sean, was like, it felt good. Sometimes God shows us the way out and we're like, I see it. I see that trap door right there, but I'm not going to take it because this feels good right here. So I don't even want to get to the point where anything feels good. I don't know if it would feel good because I am not even, and I'm not even talking about like the whole like sexual intimacy part. I'm talking about even conversation feel good or, you know, friendship feels good. No, we're not even going to get there because I'm going to take that way out before it ever becomes anything more than what it needs to be.
So yeah, for me, you know, it's wild. You know, because I have people, different people reach out to me now asking about help with struggles like that, you know, and it's really, honestly, the thing you have to do is make a decision when you're ready to stop. And nobody can make that decision for you. And I've said this before in your podcast. So once you make that decision to stop, it really is easy, but you have to want to. Like for me, it's wild, you know, like say, you know, you have attractions, but I don't have anything further. Oh man, yeah, she looked good. But I don't have those like, I want to pursue that. I want to do this and I want to do that. You know, I had a friend reach out recently and was saying that, you know, he was in a dilemma. Like he wanted to do something else, but wanted to stay with this. And I just simply told him, I was like, you know, you have to make a decision. Like, do you really want to stop or do you not? And if you really want to stop, you'll be able to stop. And, oh man, it feels good. I said, yeah, I get it. But with you saying that, it means you don't want to stop. And if you want to stop again, you know, I walk with you to it, right? And reached out to him a week later, and he was like, man, you're right. You know, once I made the decision, I'm done with it. It was like easy. And you know, I start seeing, appreciating my family more. And this and that was like, I told you, I mean, it's really having, taking that step to make the decision. So you can come out of it. If you're in it, you can come out of it. But for most guys, is we don't want to come out at the time. But again, you have to make a decision. And, you know, one thing you always say is just let me know what you want to do. If that's what you want to do, you want to do, you know, stuff like that. It's not that simple because if somebody says that, their spouse is not going to comply with it and say, okay, sure, unless they want to do it too.
No, when I say, let me know what you want to do, I'm like, listen, I'm not going to be somebody's second wheel, third wheel, other side chick. I'm the wife. So if you want to do that, you go ahead. Go ahead and do that. Just understand that that will be without me. So, and I think that honesty is important. Like, again, if there's someone who is in a adulterous relationship, you do not have to stay in that relationship. A lot of people come to me and they want to restore their marriages, but their spouse hasn't repented. Their spouse isn't trying to rebuild trust. You're way too early. Like you can't restore something that hasn't been broken. And so that's what I meant when I say, you know, if you want to do that, then hey, knock yourself out, but you're going to be knocking yourself out single.
I really want to, you know, kind of hone in on, I think it goes back to really getting for me in this journey was getting to understand who I was because I didn't know who I was. And I really think if people really took the time and did the work to understand who they were and work on themselves, then there won't be so many obstacles or outside attractions that gets their attention because they know they're able to understand who they are and then they're able to communicate that with their spouse or future spouse, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, you know, and then the other person, now they have a decision like, okay, I can meet these needs or try to meet these needs, but at least I know what you need and who you are and I can choose to work on those and choose to try and meet those or I can choose to say, no, I'm not. I think a lot of times what we do is we don't, it's a twofold. Well, the one person can't communicate what they need and the other person doesn't know. And so it's just kind of, all right, we're just shooting in the dark here and seeing if we, you know, because a lot of times we just see what was modeled before us. And what is modeled before us is, okay, well, that's what I know. And that's what I'm going with, you know, and it may not work, but we don't know how to change it. And it's just, all right, now we're on two different planes going here and there and everywhere else. And we don't understand how this other person's meeting a need. And You know, why can't you meet this need with this other person? Well, because I don't know what that need is.
Yeah, that's why, again, it's so important that we start talking about unmet needs and expectations, because if you have an expectation that's unspoken mm-hmm. of your spouse, then you're setting them up for failure. But I also think knowing yourself is great, you know, and knowing your needs and knowing your triggers, even as I said earlier, is good. But we also have to just be real and say that we are selfish beings. Mm-hmm. Like, that is our sin mark, is that we want what we want when we want it now. And so a part of, you know, this podcast is for Christian couples, or at least people who are open to Christianity or faith-based principles. If I was speaking to a non-believer, I would tell them, hey, you know, buckle up, put some willpower on there, put some boundaries. Like, those are all great tools. But if we neglect to understand that, like, our sin problem, you will always desire what you cannot have. That was Adam and Eve's issue, right? Like, God gave them paradise, perfection. They weren't lacking anything, and they still saw the one thing they could not have, and they were drawn to it. And so as believers, we have to realize that that will always be a temptation for us to want to meet our needs in inappropriate ways, to want what we cannot have. And we have to make a decision. Am I going to please myself, or am I going to please Christ? Mm. And I think that if we can settle on that, that's going to keep you, while you're learning about yourself, while you're learning how to communicate your needs and expectations to your spouse, while you're doing some of that inner work that coaching can help with. But it has to start with you making that decision. Mm. Like, I'm not here to please myself. Mm. I belong to Christ. I've been set apart. And so those things that maybe other people can get their needs met in that way, those things are not options for me. And that's really where I think, you know, for this particular episode, we can kind of leave off with. There's so much more, you guys, that I want to share with you. And so be sure to come back every single week. Over the next 2 months, you all, we are doing this series on affairs, because I know that there are so many marriages that are vulnerable to affairs. Maybe you're not having one right now, but there are so many marriages that are vulnerable to affairs. And there are many marriages also where you're really trying to rebuild from an affair. So I just want to make sure that you all continue to come back. We have so much more that we want to share with you. But Sean, I think this was really a good start and a great conversation.
Great.
Wow. Like I said, we could have spent probably another 2 hours unpacking some of what Sean and I have experienced recovering from infidelity. And you guys are going to hear a little bit more about that sprinkled through some of these episodes that we're doing in this whole After the Affair series. But I want us to segue into leaving this episode on a positive note, on an empowering note. I believe so much in the power of affirmations, which is why I am now including them in every episode. So make sure that you always stay to the very end of every episode, because we will always have an affirmation that's going to inspire you, encourage you, but also it's going to empower you to be the person that you are meant to be. So today we need to remind ourselves that as we think, we behave. If you think a certain way, you will behave that way. So it's important that we speak out loud our intentions, that we don't just allow our actions to just rule us. We control our actions. Our actions do not control us. So today's affirmation is simply this: I am not my own. I will honor God and my spouse in how I live. Let's say that together. I am not my own. I will honor God and my spouse in how I live. Let's say it one more time. I am not my own. I will honor God and my spouse in how I live. Thank you all so much for listening to the Rebuilding Us podcast. You can find the show notes for this episode at rebuildinguspodcast.com. And be sure to take my How Connected Are You partner quiz. You can find that at danashay.com/partner quiz. And I want to let you know that there is no relationship too broken that can't be rebuilt with God's grace and guidance. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you on the next episode. Take care.